WMFO, Rising with Sky Bar. Brad Helene is going to be with me in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to play some tunes. We're going to talk a lot about the new Eaters stuff and some other stuff he's got going on. Right now, I'm going to start the show off. School's Back. We're going to start with a song by Linnea's Garden, her newest single. Be back in about 10 minutes. WMFO, Rising with Sky Bar.
We'll be right back.
Let me tell you what I just played there. That was On the Avenue from the, that was a Hot Steel and Acid version. Stars Like Ours, a song called High. The Stars Like Ours have a new full length coming out, I think in a couple weeks, self-titled. And Lanier's Garden, new, a school from fashion show. Right now I'm here with Brad Helene, though. How you doing, Brad?
Pretty good, Skybar. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for coming in. As I said, as I posted, we could talk for an hour just about what you've done. Aside from the Eaters, but I want to touch on some of that stuff, going back to the late 70s with Pastiche, and I know you played with the Eaters back then, Willie Alexander and the Outlets, just to name a few. But what was it like back? Did you know back then? Because that was a pretty great time to be involved in the scene. Did you know how great it was, or did it have to like grow on you? Like years back, did you look back and say, "Wow, that was a special thing that was going on"?
Well, you know, hindsight's a pretty powerful thing to, you know, because I wish that the scene was as vibrant now as it right. was back then. I mean, and it was, you know, it was a small circle of people, really, you know, maybe 500-600 people strong that, you know, were supporting local music. But, you know, you had Cantones, the Club, the Rat, the Channel a little bit later, Space, you know, there was all these things happening down in the South End, you know, like loft parties, after hours gigs, and La Peste and Pastiche shared a rehearsal space down in the Combat Zone. There was things that were going on down there
in our
rehearsal space, parties, and it was a great time for music, you know.
You won the Rumble with Pastiche. Was it a big deal back then, the Rumble?
It was for us. It was great. I mean, it was a real Rumble. You know, we did it the last year that the whole thing was at the Rat. It was us and a band, like a hard rock band called France, which was kind of odd. These two bands at that time in 1980, but it was like two sets. You know, our girlfriends and their girlfriends like got into a fight. There was like a chick fight, like
the
on the side of
days.
The stage. You know, and it was insane. But yeah, it was great. And I'll tell you, it changed things for that band when we won the Rumble. Like we got affiliated with Pretty Polly, which was a booking agency back then, and we started to get more college dates, and we were a working band.
Yeah, so it was, because I often wonder, I don't know, I think it might have waned in recent years as far as the bump you get out of that, winning the Rumble, I mean. But it helped you guys a lot, huh?
It really did, yeah. I mean, it graduated to such greater heights and bigger venues. I mean, it ended up being at the Orpheum, right, for the finals and stuff, which
is,
you know, crazy.
Yeah, and one of my favorite bands of all time locally were the Outlets. You did time with the Outlets?
I did, yeah. Yeah, it was...
Dave Barton, as a front man, was just like unlike any I've seen.
And a great songwriter, you know. And Rick, his brother, was a really good rhythm guitar player. And we used to do, you know, some AC/DC covers. And those guys, I mean, between the two guitars, we used to do Overdose off Let There Be Rock and a couple other things. And they just really worked great. So when my time in that group was, Mike Collins was the drummer who was in Thrills. And... But I later played with Walter in the first time I was in the Eaters. Walter Gustafson was in was in the Eaters at that time.
Yeah, and so. you played with the Eaters as well in that time frame, right?
Yeah, a little later. I was with them in, it was like 86, 87, a couple years.
And I told you when we were talking about this before we came on, I got to mention this ministry thing. That must have been... Because, I mean, yeah, Ministry, obviously, huge, huge friggin' band. How did that come about?
So, 1981, I'd left Pastiche, and for a brief spell, I was playing with this group called Primary Colors, which was Fernandez, Ronnie Marinek from Pastiche, the keyboard player, myself, and Ian, who replaced Peter Dayton in La Peste. And then I started working with a group called Adventure Set. And I was
know of them too, yeah.
Yeah, and I was working with them, and we were playing at Spit one night, and I was there with my girlfriend, came to the gig, and I noticed when we were playing that these two guys were chatting her up, and I was like, okay, we got to get this set over here so I can find out what's going on, because they were just getting a little too close to her. So I went over on the break, and I was like, hey, what's up, fellas? And it was Ian Taylor and Vince Ealy, the drummer from the Furs, Psychedelic Furs.
Wow.
And they were in town producing the Ministry record. And Ian, you know, was Roy Thomas Baker's right-hand man and had done all the Cars records and Queen records, ACD records, ACDC, lots of different records. So anyway, they're like, oh, this is your boyfriend? And, you know, we started talking, and they said, hey, you know, we like your bass playing. We need bass on a couple tunes on this record. So... I went down to Ministry was rehearsing at the Fresh Pond Music Complex, was where I first went when I auditioned for Pastiche in 78. Went down and, you know, learned the songs and then went in and cut them. And Al dug the way I played and he offered me the job.
Wow,
that's basically how it went.
So you toured for a couple of years with them?
Yeah. Did the Arista record with them and the record, their first Sire record, Twitch. And then we did a couple in between those two deals, we did a couple independent things on Wax Trax, which was that label out of Chicago that Al was affiliated with and did a lot of stuff. You know, he produced a lot of groups that were on Wax Trax.
So that's cool. Okay, we're here to talk basically about the Eaters, though.
Yes.
And I'm going to play, you have two new singles out now on the upcoming full-length release. I'm going to play one now and maybe one more. A throwback Eaters song, but I'm going to play Wild Eyes, and then we'll be back after a couple songs, and we'll talk a lot more about the resurgence of the Eaters. Here we go, Wild Eyes.
Wild, wild, wild.
All right, that was No More Idols. That was another older one from, that was on Hot Steel and Acid too, I guess. And we had Wild Eyes, the first single off the upcoming full length by the band. I'm back here with Brad Helene. I did want to mention before we get into the Eaters, Duke Robillard, because you did a lot of work with him, right?
I did, yeah. I was with him for 12 years.
Is he probably the longest running, I guess you'd say, band you've been with, and you probably like six records, right? You were on.
Yeah, probably did seven as a leader with him, but then maybe 60 to 70 more records that he produced, because he produces a lot of artists as well, and has a lot of side projects. He's a busy guy, and he's still out there doing it.
Yeah. Okay. So because I know you've done a ton of work with him. I didn't want to leave him out amongst everyone else, but yeah, it's a tight show here. So the Nervous Eaters. Latest lineup, how did that configuration, how did you get back with the Eaters, so to speak?
Well, when I'd given Duke my notice, I'd say, you know, Steve and I have stayed in touch. I did a tenure with him in the 80s, and we've stayed in touch all through this time. Not, you know, seeing each other a lot, but a couple phone calls a year, lots of emails. He's always writing. He would send me songs, demos. Hey, what do you think of this tune, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and because I'm a fan of Steve's writing, a huge fan.
Yeah.
I think he's criminally unknown as a songwriter in the world at large. But so he called me, you know, and I'd seen the lineups over the years. I would go, if I had a night off, I'd go see him play and say hi. But he called me a couple days after I had given my notice to Duke and said, hey man, my bass player just left. You know anybody that's looking for a gig? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I'm free. And I just figured, you know, I wasn't thinking anything beyond like, hey, it's just it's an opportunity to even go down to the rehearsal space and play Last Chance, Girl Next Door, Loretta, Hot Steel, On the Avenue. I mean, I love playing all those songs. So, you know, and David McLean, who's been with Steve now for, I guess, 7 years or so, he's the current drummer, and, you know, who's got a pedigree in Boston as well from coming, you know, being in the Boom Boom Band with Willie and Billy Lesigian and Sev. I mean, he did both the MCA records with Willie. And Adam Sherman, who, you know, everybody knows Adam out there.
Yeah,
you know, he was in Private Lightning and the Souls and
his own stuff.
I mean,
great.
He's a very prolific, you know, artist in his own right. So, but it was a trio for a while. And we went in and did, you know, a demo, which we got to a mutual friend of ours, Steve Berkowitz, down in New York, who's a heavy hitter in the industry. And he said, I know who to play this for. And he sent it to Steven Van Zandt over at Wicked Cool Records, and he loved it. And we had a deal literally in like 24 hours.
Yeah, and talk about big bumps, right? I mean, it must be cool for the band, you, but everybody in the band to get this kind of recognition, especially this, like for Steve Cataldo. For those who don't know, he's the main guy in the Nervous Eaters, but to get this kind of recognition this late in his career, so to speak, is a pretty cool thing. No pun intended, Wicked Cool Records, but yeah, it's must be rewarding in a sense.
Yeah, I think Steve feels real good about it. You know, we got a long road ahead of us here to actually turn this into a viable working situation where we're like a working band that's you know, keeping the lights on, but we're trying hard right now.
Yeah, and you know? There's a couple of videos came out, right, for these songs?
Yeah, we're releasing, as you said, the title of the record is Monsters and Angels, which gets released November 11th, And we're releasing five singles leading up to the release of the album. Two have been released so far, Wild Eyes, which you played, Superman's Hands, the second one, which has been released. We have the third single is dropping next week called Hop Sing Said. And it's a really cool rockin' tune. And then there'll be two more singles after that leading up to the record coming out. And there will be a video for each one of those songs.
Who was in the... There was a girl in one of the videos, and the name, you'll know, the name escapes. She was in a local band.
In the first video?
Yeah.
Kelly Knapp.
Yes.
Yeah, from the Bristols. Yeah.
Used to go, another band I used to see all the time.
Oh, yeah. We go way back with them. We've been friends with those guys since the 80s.
The Bristols haven't been active in a long time, right?
No. But Michelle lives on the West Coast now. Kim, the bass player, is in Detroit. And Kelly is here, and I'm not sure where the drummer is. She might be on the West Coast, too.
It was cool that you jumped in for that video, though. That was fun.
Well, we needed a girl with wild eyes, and you know,
bill,
and
yeah.
we weren't going to get, you know, some young, strange girl. And Kelly, you know, she holds her own, certainly, you know, in every way.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful woman and a beautiful spirit, most importantly, she's a huge fan of the Eaters, and she's a great musician herself. And
right.
She was honored to do it, and we were honored to have her, and we had a lot of fun.
And everyone does videos nowadays.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know how pricey these things are, but I'm saying to myself, I don't know, they can't be that much because people put out videos. Like, if they put a single out, it almost is accompanied with a video now.
Yeah.
A lot of bands, which is
well, YouTube
funny.
YouTube is such a huge streaming platform that you know,
again, it helps gain traction. People notice it.
The problem with it is, though, is that, and I've had people comment to me on this, not necessarily musicians, but just people in general, they'd be like, "Yeah, I really like that new video you guys did." I'm like, "Yeah, but what about the song?"
Right?
And they're like, "Oh, I got to go back and listen to it again." Because they're so busy looking at it.
This could spiral into a big spiel on my end, but I'll keep it quick. Yeah, that was always my... I was never a fan of videos in general because, I would focus on songs, and you watch the video, and all you have in your head is the video and not the song, which is weird.
Yeah,
but
and we...
I understand that people have to put videos out, so I'm not, like, slamming all videos, but personally, I...
We grew up in an era where, like, you know, my friends and I, when we were 15 years old, we sat around and listened to record after record after record.
Exactly.
We knew every liner note, every word of every liner note. And we didn't know what people looked like, what kind of haircuts they had, because you couldn't tell until you got the tickets for the show. And it was all exciting leading up to it.
Yeah, we're talking the same language,
You know, and I miss those days, to be honest with you.
I do too, but you got to do what you have to do.
Yeah,
and
we got to stay current.
Nothing wrong with videos.
This is how it is now, so
exactly.
Here we are.
I'm going to play Superman's Hands, maybe Loretta, and we'll talk some more. But this is the second single on the new Nervous Eaters release coming up.
You feel that I'm a tad unusual. Your mama thinks that I'm a bit delusional. I just want to be an ordinary tree with Superman's hands. Flying through space is unforgettable. Conceivable. If you could only see
Just heard Loretta, and before that, the newest single, Superman's Hands. And you were saying, Brad, that Loretta, is that the original
that
recording
is,
of that?
Yeah, that's the Rat Records version from 76. We remastered it, and I do want to say, just I want to put this out there real quick, since you played Wild Eyes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Eyes and Loretta are available on red vinyl at our website, nervouseaters.net, or
wow,
Wicked Cool website. We encourage people to buy the hard copy. We believe in the hard copy.
I'm a hard copy guy.
Streaming platforms are the enemy. They're a must-do. But for artists, you know, we believe in the hard copy. And Monsters and Angels is going to be released on vinyl. And I think it's going to be orange and purple vinyl, two different colors, and CD also. So,
yeah, I'm glad to hear that, because I preach on this show a lot about physical products.
So important.
And we touched on that earlier. I don't know if we were on here or not, about even things like liner notes. I used to love reading liner notes and silly things like thank yous and who played what on what.
Absolutely.
And even who's in the band. And
yep.
I mean, yeah, I know it's convenient to just click and you can stream an entire album or a single and it, boom, it downloaded in a second, but you really miss a lot when you're just doing that. If you like a band a lot, I don't know how you can just download songs and just stream it. I don't know how you can't pick up physical product if they have it out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I believe in books. I think books are marvelous. LPs, CDs, I mean, it's important.
All that non-computer stuff. It is important, yeah.
Yeah.
So you got some shows coming up. Obviously, you have the show Friday.
Yeah, this Friday. Big gig at the Hopkinton Center for the Arts with Robin Lane, who also has a new record out.
Yeah, great stuff. I've been playing that.
Played
a lot of that last. That's on Red on Red Records.
That's right. Yeah,
Robin Lane stuff.
Justine's label.
Yeah, who's also a great label.
Yep.
Yeah, I played a lot of that. She's another one who has had a bit of a, I guess, a resurgence, right?
Yeah. I don't think she ever stopped. And
like most people never went away. Like, the Nervous Eaters never went away.
No.
But this seems like a second push, so to speak.
So, definitely.
Like, they never went away. Like, I've seen the Eaters sporadically for, I don't know, as long as he's been playing. I saw him at the place to close, the Rosebud, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Quite a while ago.
Davis Square, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably like I'm get ballparking like 10 years ago, so he never really stopped.
No,
it's just that this is like a second wind, so to speak.
And he's never stopped writing. I mean, he's just he writes all the time.
Yeah, and so I don't know if there's any other gigs you want. I should mention. I want to mention touch on the Sal stuff you're doing with Sal Baglio and Dan Kopko.
Yeah,
get a couple. Sal was in a few weeks ago, I forget when. I'm good. I know Dan Kopko very well, and so you guys got a little project going on.
Good guys, yeah. I like both those guys a lot. And Sal and I have been friends for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we go back to that same period,
right.
You know.
The same. We talked, he was on, we talked the same stuff, that early 80s, yeah.
Yep, late 70s, early 80s thing. And
yeah. So you had a couple gigs with him, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. The Amplifier Heads. He's got, you know, a song that's doing really well right now on it's called Space Cadet,
mm-hmm.
which you're probably playing on your show.
Yeah, he played it past
a lot of people
weeks,
are playing it. And so we got a couple gigs coming up, and the Eaters are playing. We have a gig with Tiger Bomb up in Portland, Maine, at Geno's in October, and then we're back at the Burn, I believe it's November 5th for our record release, which will be our official record release. We unfortunately won't have the vinyl that night, but we will have CDs.
And that, I got to add that is also with Carissa Johnson?
Yes, Carissa Johnson's going to be on that show, which we're big fans of.
It's a great
hers.
Bill. We discussed this off here. I'm a huge Carissa Johnson fan.
Yeah.
Huge fan of you guys. So that's one. That's one of those, I will get a get my ticket. Because the Barman does, they do draw well.
Yeah.
Barman does draw well.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks again for coming in.
Skybar, thank you for having
me.
I'm gonna
play one more old Eaters song here. I'm gonna leave with Hot Steel and Acid, but thanks again for coming in. Check these guys out and buy their product, physical products, and go see them if you can. And all right,
nervouseaters.net, that's where you can find us.
Good enough. And I'm gonna play one more here off Hot Steel and Acid, title track actually, and I'll be back shortly. We'll be right back.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school.
Cutting and burning.
Clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
Just listen and be supportive.
Probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Carrie intentionally burned her arms with a curling iron.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
She got help and tries to help others.
Just listen and be supportive, but also don't enable the person to feel sorry for themselves and to keep going downhill. Try to stay away from that by encouraging them. How can you go forward? What do you need to do to make something positive out of this?
Who needs you to be supportive? From the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.
This thing is full of juice. We gotta get it out before that shaft comes loose. Vibration in the alley is a rumble at the call. No time to throttle back, but she won't take much more.
A midnight run across Iron Bottle Sound. Looking for the smoke, is anyone around? A midnight run across Iron Bottle Sound. Looking for the smoke, is anyone around? You can smell the wet concrete. The porcelain is busted. Something spatters at your feet. You don't come here for the bouquet. You don't come here for the rounds. You want to hear a girl who played that Iron Bottom sound.
A midnight run across Iron Bottom Sound. When you hear that rumble, you know they're coming round. A midnight run across Iron Bottom Sound. When you hear that rumble, you know they're coming round.
Shelly grabs a clutch. Petra's in the back seat. Nah, she ain't doing much. Until they turn a corner and that Bridget comes around. Then the rim shots ring out across Iron Bottom Sound.
A midnight run across Iron Bottom Sound. When you hear that rumble, you know they're coming round. A midnight run across Iron Bottom Sound. When you hear that rumble, you know they're coming round. They come.
This ain't the good old days. Now they blow the roof off, cause everybody plays. Come on for that run across Iron Bottom Sound. You're gonna have some big fun when you roll into this town.
A midnight run across Iron Bottom Sound. You're gonna have some big fun when you roll into this town. A midnight run across Iron Bottom Sound. You're gonna have some big fun when you roll into this town. You're gonna have some big fun. You're gonna have some big fun. You're gonna have some big fun.
All right, that was Crow Falla with Iron Bottom Sound. Sunshine Riot with Postal Trouble, The Downhauls with Lost Soul, and Hot Steel and Acid by The Nervous Seed is WMFO Medford, Rising with Sky. I want to thank Brad Helene once again for coming in. We got a couple more. This is a song by a band called Amyl and the Sniffers. That was Amyl and the Sniffers. Song was called Security Off Comfort to Me. It's 856 WMFO in Medford. Listening to Rising with Skybar. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to play one more by a band called Lurid Purple Flowers. See you next week.